Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, many of you probably saw or heard the news the other day, but basically the news item was this. It said that Perry Noble is out at New Spring, and an article that appeared out on ChristianPost.com just recently says this: Perry Noble fired for alcoholism, strained marriage, is under psychiatric care in New Spring Church confirms. The article then goes on to say after a week of whispers that he had been fired, New Spring Church, a popular megachurch in South Carolina with a weekly attendance of 30,000, confirmed Sunday that Perry Noble, the church's founding and senior pastor, had been fired for alcohol abuse and other, quote, unfortunate choices and decisions, unquote, and is currently under psychiatric care. Quote, while this is the most difficult and painful decision that we've had to make, unfortunately, it was necessary. Perry has made some unfortunate choices and decisions that have caused us much concern, unquote. That was from New Spring Chief Executive Pastor Shane Duffy, and he told the congregation that at the 9:15 a.m. service. He explained that the church tried for several months to help Perry after confronting him about his issues, but he refused to take correction, and so they were forced to make a, quote, painful, unquote, move. Quote, over the course of several months, our executive pastors met and discussed at length with Perry these concerns regarding his personal behavior and his spiritual walk. Perry's posture towards marriage, increased reliance on alcohol, and other behaviors were a continual concern. Due to this, the executive pastors confronted Perry and went through the steps of dealing with the sin in the church, as outlined in Matthew chapter 18, unquote, said Duffy. Again, another quote, it says, because Perry chose not to address these ongoing issues and didn't take the necessary steps towards correcting them, he is no longer qualified as outlined in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and the church's bylaws to continue as pastor of New Spring Church. We will continue to love Perry and his family during this difficult time, and we are committed to continue to pray for his healing, and we are also committed to provide personal support for Perry and his family in the days ahead, he noted. Duffy explained that he would not divulge much more about what led to Perry firing because it would not be helpful to Perry or to his family. Though we know you may want more details to satisfy your curiosity, but to do so would not be helpful to Perry or his family as we take these next steps. Our faith remains strong, rooted in the power of Jesus Christ. The gospel gives us hope that Perry and his family can experience healing. The same gospel also gives confidence that New Spring Church will continue to make a difference in our state. In the coming weeks, we ask that you join us as a church family in continued prayer for Perry, his family, and our church. We do believe the best is yet to come, he said. In a statement to the church read by Duffy, Perry said that he wished the announcement was a joke and apologized to the church for his actions and noted that he was currently under psychiatric care. Quote, I come to you with a heavy heart to let you know that effective Friday, July 1st, I will no longer be the senior pastor of New Spring Church. I wish this were a joke, a part of a sermon illustration. However, it's true, Perry began in the statement. I've often told you that New Spring exists to help hurting, imperfect people. I've joked that you should not attend New Spring if you're already perfect because I will mess you up. That was my way of telling you that I am traveling on a journey each day alongside each one of you and try to take my next step to become more like Jesus, he said. If you've attended New Spring for any length of time, You know that I've never claimed to be a perfect pastor or even more, the perfect Christian. What we've seen the Lord do over the last 16 years has been a modern-day miracle. However, in my obsession to do everything possible to reach 100,000 and beyond, it has become a personal cost to my own life and created a strain on my marriage. He continued, in my opinion, the Bible does not prohibit the use of alcohol, but it does prohibit drunkenness and intoxication. I've never had a problem drinking alcohol socially, but in the past year or so, I've allowed myself to slide into, in my opinion, the overuse of alcohol. This was a spiritual or moral mistake on my part as I began to depend on alcohol for my refuge instead of Jesus and others. I have no excuse. This was wrong and sinful, and I'm truly sorry. For those who are disappointed in me, let me assure you that no one is more disappointed in me than myself, he said. I realize that I cannot continue to do effective ministry if this issue in my personal life is not adequately addressed. I plan to immediately seek spiritual guidance and some from some amazing men of God in my life, and I am currently under the treatment of an excellent psychiatrist who is helping me take major steps forward, he added. Perry also was also quick to point out that none of the other unfortunate choices and decisions, that's in quotes, that he was fired for involved inappropriate sexual behavior or spouse abuse. Let me be very clear, he says in a quote, neither Lucretia nor I, that's his wife, or I have committed any sort of sexual sin. I have not stolen money. I've not been looking at porn, and there was absolutely no domestic abuse. This is the story, period. I simply need to address the issue that I've gotten, that has gotten out of hand in my life, and I receive this decision as from the Lord, and I trust the leadership at New Spring Church, he said. And so that ends the article, the way that it was written there, out on ChristianPost.com. Again, the headline saying, Perry Noble fired for alcoholism, strained marriage. He's under psychiatric care, New Spring Church confirms. Now, I the other day on my Facebook post, when this first came out, I put this on the Facebook post. I said, Perry Noble out at New Spring. Anyone willing to look objectively at his statement and behavior over the years could see something like this was coming. And it's not just him, but the problem goes much deeper into the leadership that enabled him as well. Now, let me say a couple of things about that statement. One, I'm not going to parse Perry Noble's statements there that he made. I'll just say that some of the comments that he made there, there's certainly some very good things that are being said there, and there's also some other things there that I think could certainly be drilled down upon or drawn into in order to look at what's being said there in a little bit more detail that might still be a problem. And I think also with the church as a whole, since in my statement there I point to the church as a whole, the problem went deeper with the leadership that enabled him, I would say the similar thing. There's some very good things that are being done by the church there, where they talk about using Matthew 18 and that they have spoken to him about this and tried to reconcile and tried to, make a path forward and so forth. Those things are obviously very good and commendable things that we should say about what was taking place there. However, I would say that the leadership there, it's not like that this has all of a sudden been a problem at New Spring Church and now, the leadership suddenly addresses this. They allowed a lot of things to go wrong at New Spring Church for many, many years. In fact, I would say, as I do in that statement, they enabled this type of excessive behavior from Perry Noble for many years. Somebody commented on my post here. This was Doug, a friend of mine, but he says this. He says, I'm glad that you said something to this effect. Everyone else is stuck in the sympathy-only mode with no voice of wisdom or discernment. Don't get me wrong. I'm for covering this in prayer, both for the sake of Perry and his family and for the true believers at New Spring. and let grace abound in cases of sin and repentance. But with that, I'm with that, he says. But let's not pretend that there hasn't been severe spiritual issues with the whole church for a long time. My deep prayer is that God will return to his people, return his people to himself through this. And then he adds there just a pastoral observation. I thought his comments were right on, and I thought that he grasped really well the spirit in which I made my comments there as well. I certainly am I'm not gloating over that something happened with Perry Noble, even though I, severely disagreed with his methodology that he had in practice there at New Spring. I don't wish this upon anybody, and I'm not gloating over the fact that he has fallen in such a public way. And I think it's a travesty for his family and for him and for the church, and more so for the name of Jesus Christ, and bringing reproach upon the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I'm not happy at all about this taking place, and I don't glory in the fact that he has fallen. But I think that if it's going to be of use in the way to spiritual healing that everyone involved seems to be interested in, it's important that we actually understand what has taken place. And we look for the core issue that was going on here and really address that core issue. There's a lot of things that are just symptoms of bigger problems. And if we just go, play whack-a-mole and go after these various symptoms in the church, you can do that all day long and really not get to what the real problem is here. And I think that that's an important piece of what we need to do when we look at a subject like this. We need to get to what the real core issues are in this case. Now, Perry mentions in his statements here, and it's mentioned a couple of other times, I think, by others in this text or context here as well, that he is seeking psychological or psychiatric help in this situation. And I would just say that I don't know what's going on in that psychiatric evaluation or that psychiatric help that he's receiving there. But I would just say, in the big picture, that this is not a psychological problem that has taken place here at New Spring. This is a theological problem that was taking place here at New Spring. And what I mean by that is this attitude of excess that was going on at New Spring for almost from the very beginning. There was just this, just enamored with this idea that bigger is better. And if one thing is good, then more of that thing can only be better, can only be greater. You can hear Perry in his comments there, where he talks about that he was obsessed with this idea of reaching 100,000 people. So obsessed with numbers, with a number, right? In doing this, and he credits even or faults this obsession with this as being the problem that drove him to the symptom, which was the over excess then in alcohol. His own words, his own statements there, I'm pointing to. So the problem there seems to be the lack of what the Bible calls temperance. Temperance. Now, temperance is spoken about twice, at least twice that I want to mention here in the scriptures. One, it is spoken about by the Apostle Paul when he looks at the subject of the fruit of the Spirit versus the fruit of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, he says this. He says in verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest are these, adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lasciviousness." Lasciviousness is It's a, you know, King James word here, and I'm reading from the King James, so a lot of people don't understand what that word is, but it's this idea of excess. It's this idea of not being unbridled, a lack of self-control, just being, you know, up over the top on all things, you know, this idea. And it goes on to say idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, and so forth. Now, you see this this idea of being out of control and without any sense of temperance or, you know, moderation in things and so forth. You see this at many different points throughout the life of the ministerial life of Perry Noble here at New Spring, right? I mean, at one point, he admitted to the congregation that he was addicted to pornography. And then shortly after that point, he admitted to the congregation that he was addicted now to painkillers. And so he'd gotten, you know, some sort of medication that had been given to him for something, and he then became addicted to that. Now he has admitted, well, after the elders brought this forth, that he has admitted that he was now addicted to alcohol. So it's not just one thing, right? There's a pattern here that of excess in a number of different areas. And if there's one thing that we could say about New Spring and what people know of New Spring and so forth, you know, the concept of temperance, of you know, moderation, those terms were never used in any sort of a sentence speaking about what was going on over at New Spring and is currently going on over there at New Spring. So that's why I'm saying that I'm not sure that just Perry's removal from there will fix the problem. I'm saying the problem goes deeper because the problem is actually one of a lack of temperance in things, and this drive, this need for speed, you know, this need for overabundance of going, you know, greater and bigger, and bigger is better, and all of this mentality that is over there driving this type of thing. And I don't think that it was just him. I think a number of other people bought into this concept as well. Paul goes on then to say this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, the temperance that is spoken about there, right? It means to govern your life, you know, that your life should be governed by the things of God. It means to be in control, to restrain the natural expressions of self and sin. I followed Perry, I can't remember, on Twitter, I think it was, but I remember some of the posts that came out where one of them in particular I just thought was odd, but it feds into this same line of thinking here about temperance. He said that, you know, he was hungry and that he wanted to drive to Columbia for lunch in order to get a certain type of hamburger there that he liked. So, you know, you're going to drive 120 miles for lunch. You know, I really want one of these sandwiches. I'm going to get it for lunch. Who wants to go with me? You know, that was the gist of the post. And I'm just thinking, you know, it's a little excessive, right? It's in this particular case, it was excessing over a certain type of food and wanted the food really badly. So in the middle of the day, hey, this is what I want. I'm going to get it. And who wants to go along with me? Okay, now don't send me emails about, you know, haven't you ever wanted a hamburger or something? I'm just pointing to this idea that an excess in a number of different areas. And I think that if anybody who's honestly, objectively looks at New Spring would say that it's all about excess, right? It's all overdone. It's over above and beyond, overboard. Everything is done to the nth degree. Every Sunday or Saturday, Perry would come on and say, you know, tomorrow's going to be our greatest service ever, the greatest one that we've ever had at New Spring and so forth. There was a lot of hype, you know, hyperbole and overdone and excess every single week. And you have to almost keep this up because the ministry that gets built around that, you then got whatever you win them with is what you're going to have to keep them with. So everything has to keep getting bigger and better and bigger and bigger and bigger. And otherwise, you know, people will lose interest because This is what you sold them on in the very beginning. So a lot of things were incorporated into the church over the years, right, in order to do it bigger and better and so forth. Whatever was the latest and greatest fad that was taking place, you know, then that had to be incorporated somehow into the ministry of the church because that's what everybody was going after. And so since the numbers were there, we got to bring it into the church, give it a Christian label. And then when we give it a Christian label, then we can talk about it in a Christian way. So Duck Dynasty was brought in, you know, and everything else under the sun into this circus-like atmosphere where, you know, everything is done over the top. But what wasn't there was the idea of temperance. Temperance is this idea. It means in strength or in power. It means living a life with strength to overcome the impediments of the flesh in order to be able to serve God. It's usually defined as self-control or self-rule or moderation. You heard in Perry's own words there that he didn't have a problem with drinking, and but he drank to excess there. He didn't use moderate. He wasn't moderate in those things. It means to be within reasonable limits, not excessive, not subject to extremes. It's opposed to, you know, radical views and radical measures that are being taken and so forth. Remember, you know, Perry got into trouble there with playing Highway to Hell on Easter Sunday. Well, why would you do that? You know, what's the mentality behind that? I mean, we can get in all kinds of discussions, again, about side issues and rock music and good or bad and can Christians listen to it. But why would you do it? I mean, what's the driving motivation force behind it? You know, excess, over the top, you know, controversial, outside the limits, you know, this type of thing that is all behind it. You know, an illustration of what moderation is like, we use the word moderator. When a person is a moderator, right? And so he can speak to issues with some gravity involved, you know, some gravitas, can speak with, just using moderation and thinking through the issue without making these types of over-the-top statements and so forth. So Paul says, he means by temperance, it is used as the opposite of the works of the flesh. And what's behind the works of the flesh? The works of the flesh, basically, there is a selfishness and a self-indulgence. The fruit of the Spirit, then, is total abstinence from all things that are forbidden, no matter how much the flesh craves those things. And it is the avoidance of excess in satisfying even permissible desires. So there's anything that the Lord has forbidden, that's completely off the radar, right? That's completely out of the scope of Christians having anything to do with it whatsoever. But there's a lot of things that are permissible in the Christian life, like food, right? And then, but gluttony over that food is sinful in the eyes of the Lord. So there's some things that are permissible, of course, and the Christian is not to be governed by his own desires or his own impulses, but rather he is to be governed by the Holy Ghost. Someone once said that the word means self-command, and it denotes the right attitude of the mind and the heart and the life in reference to those things in the world that naturally call for our desires, whether they be to, you know, pleasure or profit or power or reputation or these types of things. These things call for our desires, but there should be a self-command over the way that we respond to those things. Temperance, then, is the victory of the Spirit of the living God over the flesh. This is not a matter of simply having willpower. I'm not talking about that, or simply deciding not to do something. I'm not just talking about some sort of a New Year's resolution, right? The flesh cannot deny the flesh. The flesh is always going to do what the flesh wants to do. And so the flesh is not going to crucify the flesh like the Spirit, like the Scripture tells us needs to be done. I'm talking about something that is the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. This is the grace of God in the life of the believer, helping him to overcome himself, his own selfish desires and so forth. The leading of the Spirit is always into then a deeper grasp of the gospel message and the power of that gospel in the life of the believer. So the Holy Spirit enables the believer to deny the right of the flesh to dominate us, so that we regulate our lives according to what Christ has revealed to us in his word, and this is how we bring honor and glory to his kingdom. And so these are the determinate factors, right? So words associated with temperance are abstinence and moderation and submission and these types of things. So the Holy Spirit enables us to abstain from all sinful activity that we find given to us in the Word of God. And so anything that is actually sinful must be, and the Holy Spirit will cause us, he works in us to overcome these types of things. But also, the Holy Spirit will enable us to maintain the right attitude towards all things, even permissible things, right? Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 16 says this, "Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it." Right? Honey's a good thing. I use honey. I've got honey in my coffee here where we're speaking, right? So honey's a good thing, but too much honey, it'll cause you to be sick. You get sick from it. It's not a good thing. So too much of a good thing. So it's interesting when we look at this, how the next verse deals with entertaining company. And when we look in Proverbs chapter 25, it says, "Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee." So, you know, getting together with people is a great thing, right? But even in that, there should be moderation that should be used there. And the moderation that should be used there shouldn't be over somebody's house the whole time. So you can have it with food. You can have it with medications. You can have it with natural physical desires. You can have it with desires for good things like homes and houses and clothes and these types of things. You can have an improper worship leads to idolatry. You could worship something or can lead to, you know, real problems in this. And I think that, you know, this is really the core issue that we find here with not just Perry, but with New Spring as a whole. You know, that there should be a submission to the Spirit's control, and that's the key to self-control in life and ministry. Someone once said this, "If you learn self-mastery, begin by yielding yourself to the Master." We need to submit ourselves to the things of God and the way that God has spoken to us in his word about conducting the ministry that the Lord has put us in. And it's not by using fleshly methods in order to draw people into the congregation. Somebody speaking the other day about, you know, the atmosphere there is basically that of a rock concert over there. They used to say this about hockey. They used to say, "I went to a fight and a hockey game broke out because it was so dominated by fighting during the hockey games." Well, I think in some cases with some of the churches that have bought in to this methodology of doing ministry where we've got to bring in all these worldly techniques and programs in here in order to try to quote-unquote win people to Christ, I think we could say in some of these cases, you know, "I went to a rock concert and a church service broke out in the middle of it." It has seems to have, yeah, there's a little bit of something there, but the general tenor of everything is worldly. The general tenor of everything is one given to excess. So if what happens with Perry, if he just, you know, confesses excess now to alcohol, like he did to pornography and to drugs, you know, prescription drugs early on, if he just says, "Well, you know, I'm not going to now give excess to these things," but he transfers that excess over to religious things, you bring it into the church and you just wrap it up with religious garb and religious language in the church, then there'll be no growth here whatsoever. the problem will still remain, and the problem won't have been dealt with. And I think that that's what needs to take place. Peter talks about that. He says in 1 Peter, where he lists all these things, I'm sorry, 2 Peter, where he lists all these things that we need to do, he says, add to virtue knowledge and to knowledge temperance in that passage. And so he wants us to bring into bear the spiritual understanding from what we learn from the Word of God, that knowledge about the things of God, bring that to bear, and that will produce temperance in the life of God's people. It will; they won't be allowed then to be dominated by the other things or by exploits of others. It'll enable them to overcome themselves or ourselves and to be free to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I think is needed. You know, the Christian sees temperance this way. 1 Peter 4 said not that we shouldn't walk in excess. And Titus 2 said this, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, not given over to something that pushes us into not having self-control or self-command, but rather we should be submitting our lives to the commands that are given to us in God's Word. Anything that forces us into, not having that type of control is sinful. Let me say this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.